This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with Jim and Tom. And we're back from another hiatus as we seem to take many breaks. It's like the International Space Station. Like, they lose service sometimes with Houston and they're not able to really kind of get.
We try. You
know, it's very apropos in space. You lose transmission sometimes, but we're back. And we have two brand new episodes coming to you, and they're kind of open discussion, no reviews, so you won't feel lost in this one. Maybe you might feel lost because you didn't go to this Comic-Con with us as our first sure. episode, because we covered the first convention post-COVID in Philadelphia, and it was Fan Expo, formerly known as Wizard World, a con that we had been going to for years, something that, you know, we had a lot of fun doing, and we didn't know was gonna come back or not. And then Fan Expo comes in, they buy them, and the rest is history. And we went, and we went as press, and we're a little late because it was about a month ago when this happened, but, you know, again, lost transmissions. Yeah. Here we are. First and foremost, what were your thoughts on just being back in like a convention setting?
Kind of felt normal. We didn't go, we would only do like, you would do more than I would, but and you did more this time. But, you know, it was nice to get back and see the things that we don't get a chance to see. Like, we don't discover anything by sitting here. Yeah. You know, like, we have to go to these conventions to see new things and discover what we like. And for us, it's to find out the next thing we really want to see and, you know, really want to be a part of. So
I agree wholeheartedly with you. It was one of those things that, like, we've been cooped up for so long. This could have been, you know, BronyCon, and I feel like we would have went to it. It was an experience for sure, because, like, I think at one point you and I were doing like our third lap around the convention area or the vendor area, and I was like, man, we are getting really old because I don't recognize any of these characters. And
it
was definitely anime heavy, and again, we're not an anime podcast, but the cosplay quality was strong. You know,
the charts.
And I went on Saturday and Sunday, and the cosplay on Friday was the best, in my opinion. Like, yeah, there were some really cool ones on Saturday, like Beta Ray Bill and Green Lantern, who we've seen before. It's Cage Nerd for the Party Nerds. We've seen him literally everywhere. But they had like their more like professional cosplayers there on Saturday. But man, it really did feel normal, and it wasn't like anxiety provoking what like the usual con experience is like. Constantly like being bombarded with people banging into you, and you know, you can't step here, you can't step there, the staff are screaming at people for taking pictures. I thought it was good, man. I really, really enjoyed the experience. What did you think of like the floor layout? Was it evenly spaced? Was it kind of a clusterfuck?
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, because they had everything cloistered in perfect little squares. And I think since we're coming off of like the COVID restrictions, I think we're all still a little leery of like, you know, interacting and hugging, and you know, not us, but that is a lot of other people. So I think we're you know, people are still kind of weird about that, but so, yeah, it was like people giving each other space, you know, but the interactions were good. I think the vendors were extra happy to finally be out selling something. I don't think any of them ever really stopped, you know, going to cons, but when it's a bigger con, and we, like you said, we went on Friday afternoon, which probably isn't the best time for them. You know, their best day is going to be like a Saturday afternoon. And they were still, you know, well, we might have also got them before they've had enough. But, you know, everybody was pleasant. Everybody was happy to be there. So,
yeah, I mean, everybody we interacted with as in terms of vendors minus one was very friendly, appreciative of, you know, our patronage. I know I bought my Ted Lasso pins from a woman who, out of nowhere, called me out because I was wearing a Ted Lasso shirt. And I was like, yeah, you know, this is what I came here for. I wanted some Ted Lasso stuff. Like, I'm going to London. I wanted these pins to show off. And I thought she was going to have a conversation about the series with me. She did, but not with me. She had a conversation with the person on the phone explaining the series of the items that I was buying and didn't even say thank you.
And to be fair, we saw her two or three other times and she was on the phone every single time. It wasn't just you. It was, I don't think she left the phone. So I don't know what it's all about. Yeah.
We were leaving. We were walking through Philadelphia and she was crossing the street on the phone. Saturday, she was on the phone. It was, I'll never do business with her again. But the vendors I thought were good. And something that Chuck and I kind of talked about on Active Geek was it wasn't a lot of repetitiveness. Yeah. There were definitely, you know, your typical like up-and-coming artists showcasing their art. And there were the t-shirts and the toy booths. But like the woodworking booths, the 3D printers, like the art, like the swords and stuff, like they really did a good job at like spacing the floor plan and really giving you a chance to really see everything that was there. And I know that you picked up, as you do, solo playing games with Oxeye Media, who was the big sponsor of this.
They're partners with SourcePoint, I think. But
yeah, and I don't know what SourcePoint does to get that floor plan layout, but they, every year, they're front and center, biggest attraction. But I know time has been a commodity for you and you haven't played your games yet, but I'm going to share my purchase because I haven't talked about this purchase on Active Geek. And I bought a comic. I bought four comics from Sigma.
He was yelling Sigma at you Press, the whole time. So.
And it's called Cap. Yeah, he I don't know if he was the creator, if he was the Billy Mays of the comic, but it was called Calico, and it's about a New York former criminal who avenges the abuse of animals. And I had seen this, comic on Indiegogo, on Kickstarter, and for a while I was like, I'm going to back this comic. Like during COVID, I was like, I'm going to back it. A lot of the proceeds go to animal abuse victims. And I was like, let me get this. Let me pick this up. And I think when he was like all the proceeds or most of the proceeds go towards animal abuse, you and I both looked at each other and said, well, at least one of us is going to buy it. So I bought all four. I read them. And man, it is a trip. It's fun. And I love the way that he breaks down the character and the suit. Because it's like Black Panther meets Batman meets the Punisher. And I'm here for it. So there's four issues out. I suggest people get it. It's definitely a mature read. There's a scene where he's stark naked getting a BJ. And I was like, was not waiting for this scene to happen. But there it was. But he had a pretty cool booth too. Like full, I would say 12-foot. 10-foot maybe banner that said Calico on it. He had his fanny pack. He had his headset on. And, I mean, he had me hooked when I saw it. I was like, I'm going to buy this comic. And he did his, again, Billy Mays, the sham.
Yeah, I was thinking about the SourcePoint Press booth. Like, what do you think that would cost in San Diego? Like, that's like a... I mean, that's got to be a couple million dollars just to have that. That would be a booth that like Disney would put up, like that to have them here. But that's, you know, that's something that we were talking about a while ago. But yeah.
But you know what? To that point, I went to New York Comic Con a few years ago, and SourcePoint was there, and they had a huge, same size selection. It was bigger than Sideshow Collectibles, which was showing like unreleased figures and statues. And you know how expensive those Sideshow and Hot Toys are. SourcePoint was bigger than them. And I don't think people know about SourcePoint. It's crazy, but whatever they're doing, they're making money because obviously they can afford that square footage. But what were you saying about Calico?
Well, now I think I'll have to buy it just for the...
Yeah, it's fun.
But maybe that's the one... Maybe we were talking... Like, we always find something that we both like or something that you know, at least one of us likes and kind of we become a fan of. And like we had mentioned in the past, Skull Digger, and that's one that we found and we're big fans of. But maybe that's it. Maybe Calico will be the one that we walk away and say, you know, that's it's a cool comic.
Yeah, there was Nora a few years ago, which was great. Another Source Point Press thing. But in terms of the vendors, I thought it was a really good variety of vendors, minus the girl I bought the pins from. So I'll never do business with her Etsy shop ever. But the guest list is probably the most important, sexiest selling point of a Comic-Con. And this one had a healthy balance of what I called nostalgia and fan favorites. You had a lot of the next generation guys, Delancey, Frakes, Spiner, McFadden. You had Carl Weathers and Ming-Na Wen from The Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett. You had David Tennant. You had Kate Flannery, William Shatner. I feel like every anime voice actor and actress was there. Mickey Mouse was there. Theo Rossi. Ashley Eckstein, who played Alexa Tano, who plays Ahsoka Tano, was there. So what did you think of the guest list that they had?
It was probably the most impressive guest list that actually turned up. Like, you know, we go there sometimes and people don't show up.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody showed up. You know, all the big names that you wanted to be there showed up. I don't know where Philadelphia falls in the con scene. It's not San Diego, but I mean, it's not New York either, but I don't think New York's ever, I've never liked the cons we've went to, and we went to a lot of the cons in New York, and I don't think it's just good for conventions. It's not really made for that, New York, even though they have a million things there and a lot of great stuff. But I think Philadelphia might be, like, in my mind, maybe Chicago, but I don't know. Philadelphia's got to be like number two on your con. It's got to be like the best con on the East Coast, at least, you know? Like,
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah, man. I think the way that it's ranked, and this is, I don't know what it is, but I think Philly should be higher up. But Boston gets better con and better guests than us.
Maybe.
Rhode Island Comic-Con, the smallest state with the biggest Comic-Con, their guest list is ridiculous. Baltimore Comic Con does well, Galaxy Con, or, you know, the Florida cons, like the Mega Cons and stuff like that, which is, I think, part of Fan Expo, which is good. But, like, if we're talking Fan Expo in general, let's just compare these. Columbus had a better guest list, in my opinion, than Philly, and we're better than Columbus. Come on now, it's Ohio. It's a drive-through state. Dallas had Brendan Fraser. Like, come on now, The Mummy, Doom Patrol, he's Batgirl. Like, they had Brendan Fraser, they had Gina Carano, Giancarlo Esposito. Like, they had a really good cast there. So I don't think that the convention, or the, not the convention, but the bookers, like these agents that are booking their people, really have a bunch of respect towards Philadelphia.
Maybe.
When we are a savage fan base, but we're a dedicated fan base. And if you keep showing up, we're going to show up.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's a detriment to these celebrities that are missing out on a core fan base. But I remember a time when Hemsworth and Hiddleston were in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know who we forgot? Kevin Smith and Jay Muse. How can we forget
that? Right.
They were there as well.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed this. I love the guest list. I think they really hit the nail on the head with, like, all the fandoms. Like, you had your Star Wars, you had your Star Trek. Doctor Who, a lot of sci-fi, a lot of stuff that we based our podcast off of when we decided to make one. And then the anime, which obviously they hit their mark with anime. But then you have Carl Weathers for Creed, who played Creed in Philadelphia for Rocky. You know what I mean? Like, that was a big...
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
But we sat at his panel, and he did not seem like he wanted to talk about Creed.
Yeah, it didn't. It seemed like he wanted to talk about Mandalorian more than anything else. Maybe,
and Action Jackson.
Yeah. Maybe because he doesn't really have anything to do with Creed.
Yeah, I mean, at first they asked him a question, what would Apollo Creed be doing if he weren't dead now? Like, the hell kind of question is that? Like, I get these fan questions, but like, come on now. Like,
he'd have a podcast.
They're yeah, probably. Absolutely would. What I would have done if I beat Rocky. And then they started asking about, you know, Michael B. Jordan stuff, and like, he wasn't included. He wasn't a, you know, a phantom ghost father in there. There's no real pictures of him. And he defended his character like Creed had, Apollo Creed had values and morals, and he wasn't this guy who went out and cheated on his wife and had this illegitimate child. Like, I don't think he's a fan of the Michael B. Jordan stuff. And maybe that's because he didn't get to direct it, or he wasn't able to like write it or be in it. But obviously, you know, what is he going to be, a tombstone?
Yeah.
At this point?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe he just doesn't. I don't know how many places he's an instant like winner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's great because now he's on Mandalorian and Predator and Happy Gilmore. Right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
But beyond that, like, nobody, I don't know how many people care. Rocky has fans everywhere, but not, Rocky doesn't have like Philadelphia fans everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, he comes to Philly, he's an instant hit. Like,
you got to know you're going to get bombarded with 50% Rocky, 50% Mandalorian. And I was shocked that he got Action Jackson and the Pointer Sisters music video. Like, I was completely blown away by that. But I will say, like, I truly enjoyed his panel because it was insightful. Like, he gave very in-depth answers and very, like, I don't know, like, it was like you were listening to like a master at work about acting and creating and producing and directing and stuff like that. And then we went to the Jonathan Frakes panel, which, you know, I told Chuck this and he was shocked because think about all the panels we've been to. We've been to a ton of panels. Tom Holland panels we've been to. We've been to Frank Miller. And I said that this was probably my favorite one.
Yeah. I mean, aside from my bias, and this was one of those things I was like, oh, no, don't meet your heroes, because I didn't know what was going to happen. but he turned out to be great. Like, you know, when he first went up there, and it was just a rule for the room is, you know, don't take pictures. He made a big deal out of that. Whatever. I mean, that's how they make money, whatever. But I was like, uh-oh, he's going to be kind of a dick. But he turned out to be, like, pretty awesome. Like, had an answer for every single question. Didn't, like, deflect. Didn't, like, and never took himself too seriously. Like, he kind of, not self-deprecating, but, like, he didn't place himself amongst the greats. He was, like, he was talking, like, reverentially about working with Patrick Stewart. Like, how awesome that was. And, you know, how watching him and Alfre Woodard, you know, do a scene together was like the greatest thing he's ever been able to do as a director. And so, like, it's like he gets it and he knows his place in the business. Like, he's not a mega actor, but he's a great television director. He's directed movies too, but like, his television is kind of what's he's going to be famous for in the end. So,
you know, going in there as not a Trekkie, he called Trekkers. I don't know where
I might be some old school thing. I don't know.
Yeah. But going in there kind of unbiased, but enjoying his stuff in The Next Generation and what he did in Picard season one.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen season two, but I plan on watching that on the plane.
I'm waiting for it to binge it. So,
yeah. But going into it, I was like, this guy's like really cool. Like, he sat two rows in front of us and then got on stage. He commanded the room. He did the Riker maneuver.
Yeah.
He tested that out for everybody. He interacted with the interpreters.
Yeah.
Asked them about Coda. He talked baseball. He talked about his wife. He talked about stuff with, like, Marina Sirtis and the rest of the crew. Like, directing all, like, the memes. He talked everything. And the thing that I really respected about his panel was, I think he could tell that the panel host was brand new at this.
Yeah.
Like, it was, if like you or I went up there and like we had the jitters, because he did seem a little nervous. And I went to a panel with him later and he was still nervous the next day. But Frakes really just commanded the entire thing.
Kind of took
he
it over.
He controlled it.
Yeah.
He directed it.
Yeah, that's what he did.
And yeah, and I was here for it because as somebody who would dream to do a panel with somebody like Jonathan Frakes, I'd be nervous as shit to go up there and, you know, flub my words or get my questions wrong like I like I did when I had a chance to talk to Kevin Conroy.
Right.
IMDb. Yeah, IMDb had him listed as Batman in this animated movie. And I said, you know, can you tell us anything about what's coming up? And he's like, I'm not casting that. I was like, you know, L on my head, egg on my face. Like, I don't want to be put in that spot. But I felt like with him, you and I could have really just went up there and just shot the shit with him for 30 minutes to an hour and really had some good stuff. So he was my favorite maybe of all time. Does he like take the cake for you as far as panels?
Yeah. He's the only panel I've sat completely through. I mean, like I say panel. I mean, I went and I paid money to see like Kevin Smith and Jay Muse do their show. So that's not a panel, you know, but like at a con, yeah, that's the best thing I've seen. And like bias completely removed. It was kind of, it was very insightful. Just like him and like what he likes to do and his process and how he wasn't like, he was just, he knew who he was and he knew what people knew him for. And he always, and he liked talking about all the things that he was known for.
Yeah. The opposite could be said for John Delancey.
Yeah, that's what I remember you talking about.
I was texting you from his panel and he came off like a major asshole and he could have had a bad day. And, you know, I don't want to belie his name, but like he could have really had a bad day, but he was coming off as a jerk.
Yeah.
I'll say that besides the free panels, the fact that Fan Expo did like ticketed events was also cool.
Yeah.
They did like Ryan Stegman and Donnie Cates' Venom After Dark. They did a Frank Miller panel. They did a Kevin Smith, Jay Muse, Jay and Silent Bob show. Like, I like that they gave the fans, which obviously the Clerks fans in this area and Jay and Silent Bob fans are huge.
Right.
They're rabid. The fact that they gave intimate experiences with core fan bases is something that I don't think a lot of other cons are doing. And I think that that's like a feather in their cap and an advantage that they should do moving forward. Now, you and I aren't the logistics behind this. We're just two guys in a room talking about our experience. But if that made money on tickets, I'd continue to do it because, you know, let's say you get Jason David Frank. We sat at his panel the last con we went to. If you get people to pay for that, that room's going to be full.
Right.
Like, he took over the panel. They didn't even need a panelist in that one. But
it's the same thing as a Patreon or whatever, but it, your fans pay money. You know, it's as old as time. Your fans pay money for your show. And if you have them in a place and you can give them a giant room and giant space and you could, you know, there's fans already there. There's space already there. Why not like have that extra, pay for it and have that extra experience? Yeah. I think it's smart.
Yeah. And give it a shot. If it doesn't work, then you scrap
right.
it. I mean, what's the damage, right? You know, the actor and the actress, they don't have to do more work and they're still getting paid. You know, that's easy. So as we wrap up this quick episode, what would you do to improve the convention experience? Is it the guests, different vendors? Also, we saw Greg Capala, Donnie Cates, Peter Tomasi.
Yeah.
A bunch of legendary comic creators, which was amazing to see them as well. But what would you do to improve this convention experience for next year? Because it's coming back in June.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
And we have to do all 3 days. I don't think you and I have done a three-day con together.
No.
And I think that would be amazing.
Yeah. I don't know. I my complaint always with Philadelphia, and I don't know how it is in other cons, but Philadelphia Comic Cons have the worst food experience. The food is all like garbage, not even catering. It's like subpar, like it's not even stadium food, which the stadium food's actually pretty good in Philly. It's like this venue food.
Yeah, it's not Aramark.
Yeah, it's just garbage. But that's either, you know, that's just kind of a Philadelphia thing in that in the convention center. Maybe that's what their contract is. They're not allowed to have good food. Artist, not the unknown artist alley. And I say that as like, I don't know who they were. Not that they're...
Yeah, the up-and-comers.
Yeah, the up-and-comers. That's a nicer word. That's the word I should have used for it. They were fine, and they're always where they are, kind of buried away. But like even like the very well-known was kind of like interspersed in that back row with kind of like lesser-known. And it wasn't like very active back there. But I don't know... Because everybody was back there. All the artists were back there. The only one that wasn't back there was like, I don't know. Who wasn't back there?
I think Donnie Cates wasn't there the first time.
I didn't
time
see
we
Donnie
by.
Cates. I don't think I saw Stegman.
Yeah, we did see Capallo.
Yeah, saw Capallo.
And I know a lot of people were kind of pissed with him because in true rock star fashion, he showed up late and left early.
He left before we did. And we didn't show up until like 4 o'clock, so...
Yeah, he was already gone.
Yeah.
I could piggyback off that food idea, though. Like, New York Comic Con does a really cool thing where they, like, cone off an area at the convention center and they do various food trucks to promote local businesses. I think what Philly is banking on, instead of doing the food trucks, they're banking on people going to Reading Terminal, which is right across the street, and the fact that they can go and get literally whatever they want. But the problem with that is... One, we're in a COVID environment. That's a lot of people. Two, you can get lost in Reading Terminal Market and never be found. So it would be nice. And they have vehicles in there already. They have that Wild Bill soda truck. And they have, you know, T-Mobile always has a stand in there. I feel like they could bring a food truck in there.
Yeah.
And give us a little something.
Yeah. Or I mean, it was the food's so bad, there was no lines. And it wasn't like super crowded, but it was crowded. That's how bad the food, like anytime you see like at a con, food is, there's a line. People didn't even care. None of that garbage. But you know, you're right. The terminal is amazing. I love the terminal.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
But,
it's, you just walk in there and it's just orgasmic to your olfactory senses.
But it's,
in terms of just change,
it is leaving the building, which is a big deal. So
yeah. In terms of changes for me, I think it can be the guest list in certain areas. Like I said, it was a lot heavy sci-fi, heavy anime. Yeah. And I think that there needs to be a little bit of a balance there too. So you don't miss out on your core group of people. Like, you know, maybe you go and you get like the Supernatural cast, or you go and get like some of these CW stars who, you know, the Heroes and Villain Fan Fest aren't around anymore. So get those stars. I said Ted Lasso. Get that.
Yeah.
Get Jason Sudeikis. You have all my money. But I'd like to see a little more current people. Not the same people who have been to the previous Wizard Worlds. David Tennant is a Wizard World Philly regular. I'm surprised Karen Gillian wasn't here. Yeah. Probably was shooting something. But like, I'd like to see them. John Bernthal would be amazing. Get the Marvel event defenders, get them
out there. On Disney, this would have been a perfect opportunity to call them all, you know, figure out what they're doing. Even like the second tier, like what's her name is doing like a Dungeons and Dragons show. What's her name from Daredevil?
Oh, Deborah Ann Wool.
Yeah, and you know, you could have got what's his name.
Foggy.
Yeah, Foggy. You could have got, like, all the second tier guys would have been fine, you know? Or even the main guys, like John Bernthal, like, what, you know, not to besmirch the great name, but what is he doing right now?
He's working. He's turning into Samuel L. Jackson. He's in everything. It's so much. But I think overall, this was a great experience. This was a great passing of the torch from Wizard World to Fan Expo. And I, you know, I would have to say, you know, we wouldn't have been press if it weren't for Jerry and Jim at Fan Expo. So shout out to them. And one more fix as we go into our.
They worked extra hard to make sure that we got everything, you know, we got our passes.
And they were super accessible. Like Jerry emailed me days and weeks prior to and after the event just to make sure everything was good. So a huge shout out to them. And also, you're in the Philly area. Get some ECW guys. Get some wrestling fans. Yeah. Or get some wrestlers there and cater to them, AEW fans, as we segue into our our plugs. Because next week, we're going to be talking about AEW. Because we love wrestling.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it. We're going to shoot some promos. Maybe we'll come up with wrestling names. Who knows? You'll have to check in next week. Follow us on social media, the Galaxy Wars podcast. Listen to Active Geek every Wednesday. I do Cage My IQ. I don't know when Dan releases it, but that's on YouTube. Check me out there. I have a new show that I'm unveiling called Gym Class. It's a sports podcast that just features myself just talking about sports. So download that, available on all podcast directories. And here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.